150 days into the Israeli genocide of Palestinians in Gaza, the death toll from the onslaught rises past 30,500. Beirut is hosting an international conference on unity against Israeli aggression. Participants are calling for pressure on the regime to end its genocide of Palestinians in Gaza. Also in the headlines, Israeli forces launch fresh raids in the occupied West Bank, killing another Palestinian and abducting at least 20 others. Welcome to the studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is Mias. Thanks for joining us. 150 days into the Israeli onslaught on the Gaza Strip, the regime has carried out more deadly attacks on civilian targets. One of the attacks hit the Nuseirat camp in central Gaza, killing a dozen civilians. The Israeli military once again also opened fire on people seeking aid in Gaza City, killing at least nine and wounding dozens of others. This comes as lack of food and aid has led to a humanitarian crisis in the besieged Gaza Strip. Medical sources have confirmed that malnutrition has taken the lives of at least 16 children so far. Israel began its latest onslaught on Gaza on October 7. The Gaza Health Ministry says the genocide has killed 30,534 Palestinians so far. The UN Children's Fund has warned that many more children in Gaza will die of dehydration and malnutrition unless there is direct intervention to provide assistance. UNICEF's regional director, Adele Hod, added these tragic deaths are man-made, predictable, and entirely preventable. She said that a lack of nutritious food, clean water, and medical services is a direct consequence of preventing aid supplies to Gaza. She demanded aid agencies be allowed to bring in relief assistance through all possible crossings. Meanwhile, the UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Food called for sanctions against Israel, saying that this is the only way to reach a ceasefire in Gaza. Michael Fakhri added, famine is looming in Gaza, as Tel Aviv is intentionally starving Palestinians there. Earlier we spoke to our correspondent Muti Abu Musaba in Deir al-Balah, Gaza. He told us that Israel has not stopped its attacks on humanitarian aid trucks in the besieged strip.
Over the last couple of hours, the Israeli warplanes renewed their attacks against the northern part of Gaza Strip. Several residential buildings were destroyed, particularly in the eastern part of Jabalia refugee camp and Beit Lahia town in the far north of Gaza Strip. As a result of these continuous attacks and airstrikes hitting several areas of Gaza Strip, 31 Palestinian civilians were reportedly killed. As a result of the Israeli airstrikes in Rafah over the last night, we are in front of continuous Israeli airstrikes. And according to the UN, that the Palestinian children here in Gaza are dying slowly before the eyes of the whole world. This reflects how catastrophic the humanitarian conditions are, because the people here, particularly the Palestinian children, are living catastrophic humanitarian conditions. They are completely deprived of their basic humanitarian supplies, particularly milk, food, and drinkable water, leaving them suffering amid an unprecedented situation. They are suffering from the dehydration and the malnutrition, which threatens the lives of thousands of the Palestinian children here in Gaza Strip. In the meantime, the European Mediterranean Center for Human Rights actually announced that they have documented dozens of the cases of the Israeli tanks running over the Palestinian dead bodies, particularly in the western part of Khan Yunis city. They have documented dozens of the Palestinian civilians squashed under the chains of the Israeli tanks while they were attacking those residential areas, while they were attacking the tents taking shelter by the Palestinian evacuees in Khan Yunis and elsewhere in Gaza Strip.
The Islamic Resistance in Iraq says it has attacked the Israeli port of Haifa in the occupied territories in support of the Palestinian people in Gaza. The Iraqi Resistance says it targeted a chemical facility in the port with a drone, added that the operation was carried out in response to Israel's massacre of Palestinian civilians, including women and children, in Gaza. The Islamic Resistance in Iraq has carried out a number of attacks on Israeli targets in recent months. The group has also struck major American military bases in Syria and in Iraq amid anger over the U.S. support for Israel's genocide in Gaza. The 6th International Conference for Union of Resistance Scholars is underway in the capital, Beirut. Muslim and Christian clerics from across the world are in attendance to discuss concrete steps to support the people of Palestine and the resistance. In an address to the conference, Hezbollah Deputy Secretary General Sheikh Naim Qassem called the Al-Aqsa flood operation against Israel in October as a legitimate move by the Palestinians.
Al-Aqsa storm is a legitimate right of the Palestinians. There is no argument, no debate regarding its legitimacy. They confronted an occupation which continued for 75 years. And this occupation cannot be removed except by resistance. And Al-Aqsa storm is the torch of life which feeds the resistance and contributes in the resistance increasing its presence and achieves victories via the steps it takes. This is a legitimate right. You are aware that were it not for the American support, the daily American support via the air bridge and funding via the weapons and ammunition which comes daily, and it has exceeded 250 planes up until now, and around 300 ships, all carrying ammunition and equipment. Were it not for this, Israel would not have succeeded in continuing for even days in its aggression.
In an address to the same conference, senior Hamas spokesman Osama Hamdan says the resistance will continue its sacrifices until the occupation of Palestine ends.
As the steadfastness and resistance on the ground continues from the resistance fighters and the people, we stress to the Zionists and to their partners, the United States of America, in this aggression, we say to them that what they failed to achieve on the ground, they will not be able to achieve politically. Whatever may be the misleading efforts and the pressures which are being exerted, this resistance will continue to be ready to sacrifice, will continue also to achieve more results until the occupation comes to an end, to be committed to the norms and the principles of its people. Any flexibility we show in the negotiations out of our care for the blood of our people and to put a limit to the grave pains of our people and their sacrifices in the brutal genocidal war. At the same time, we are completely ready to defend our people. And the threats to carry out more massacres in Rafah, this once again proves the nature of this army with this enemy, with this criminal army, which is represents one of the ugliest militaries seen by mankind in history, whereby they announce the massacres and the killing of the civilians as a strategy of war, and they launch attacks on hospitals as if they are bases.
Iran says the Organization of Islamic Cooperation will be tested in its upcoming Jeddah meeting for its commitment to the Palestinian cause. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman says people in the Islamic countries expect their leaders to take immediate and firm decisions to end Israel's brutal attacks on Palestinians. Nasser Kanani welcomed what Islamic countries have done so far for Gaza, but he stressed that Palestinians expect actions that prevent the regime's atrocities. The YC will hold an emergency foreign ministerial meeting Tuesday to address the ongoing Israeli genocide in Gaza. Iran's foreign minister will also take part in the meeting. Israel carries out another deadly raid in the occupied West Bank as part of the regime's intensified security crackdown, timed with the onslaught on Gaza. Regime forces killed a Palestinian in their latest deadly incursion. The raid targeted the Amari refugee camp in the central West Bank. Regime troopers also abducted 20 Palestinians in Al-Khalil. The Israeli military also blew up an apartment in Nablus as part of the regime's stepped-up campaign to demolish Palestinian structures. Elsewhere in Tulkarm, Israeli bulldozers also destroyed the infrastructure at Nur Shams refugee camp. The regime has intensified its incursions across the West Bank since it began its ongoing genocide in the Gaza Strip on October 7. The raids and settler violence have left more than 400 Palestinians dead. The U.S. redesignation of the Ansarullah movement as a terrorist group has had little effect other than worsening the humanitarian situation in Yemen, which is already in a critical condition. Abdul Latif al-Washali has more from Sana'a.
A series of restrictions were imposed on the Yemeni economy following the U.S. redesignation of the Ansarullah movement as a terrorist group earlier this year. This blacklisting has had an impact on the humanitarian situation in the war-torn country, where millions of people are in dire need of aid. Several international companies, including the money transfer company Western Union, have suspended their activities in Yemen, severely affecting the livelihoods of most Yemenis who rely on financial support from relatives abroad. Experts predict that such actions will lead to the creation of a black market for those benefiting from the suspension of money transfers.
The United States of America imposed collective punishment on the Yemeni people. Very important financial channels were stopped, such as Western Union, which is one of the most important money transfer networks in the world, and through it, Yemeni expatriates in American and European countries used to send money to their families in Yemen easily. We have 6 million expatriates outside the country and thousands of Yemeni families depend on them to provide a living. You can imagine what the situation will become after these financial transfers stop. The beneficiaries of this measure are black market workers who exploit these circumstances by deducing a percentage of their remittances and transfer them through illegal channels.
In an effort to deter Yemen's naval operations against vessels linked to the United States, the United Kingdom, and Israel in the Red Sea and Gulf of Aden, the U.S. Department of State blacklisted the Ansarullah movement as a specially designated global terrorist group. However, this designation has primarily affected the humanitarian situation, as members of the Ansarullah movement have no investments abroad.
Observers believe that Washington's recent measures are aimed at inciting the Yemeni people to take to the streets in opposition to the Ansarullah movement as a strategic move to undermine the group's popularity in the country. But that plot does not look like it will succeed, given the widespread support for Ansarullah in Yemen. Abdulatif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
The United States and South Korea have kicked off 10-day annual war games that they insist are defensive in nature. South Korea's defense ministry says the number of troops participating in the exercises is twice as many as last year. They involve air forces from both South Korea and the U.S. South Korean media say the drills could also include American strategic assets. The war games are expected to trigger an angry reaction from the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. The country considers drills in the region with the participation of the U.S. as existential threats and rehearsals for invasion. Pyongyang has responded to the provocations by a record number of missile threats in recent months. Meanwhile, tens of thousands of South Korean doctors gathered near the National Assembly of South Korea to demand the government abandon its plan to increase the number of medical students. Resident doctors in training have walked off the job amid the standoff, leaving hospitals short-staffed and patients scrambling for care. Frank Smith has more from the South Korean capital, Seoul.
South Korean doctors rallied Sunday, threatening to go on strike following the government's decision to increase the quota for incoming medical students from about 3,000 to 5,000. Doctors say the measures will not necessarily alleviate the shortage of physicians in less desirable specialties and locations. Triggered by the government plan, 9,000 resident doctors in training out of 13,000 across the country walked out on February 20th. Patients have been scrambling for care with hospitals understaffed. Polls suggest the South Korean public largely supports the government, and President Yoon Suk-yeol has seen his approval ratings increase since the standoff with doctors emerged.
The government has filed criminal complaints against the leaders of the Korea Medical Association who organized this rally. Doctors who failed to comply with the back-to-work order face the suspension of their licenses, fines, and potential jail sentences. Both sides appear to be digging in.
Medical schools don't have the capacity to accommodate so many new students, say some administrators. National Assembly elections are scheduled for April 10th. Frank Smith, Seoul.
Pakistan's parliament has re-elected Shehbaz Sharif as the country's prime minister amid nationwide protest demonstrations by supporters of jailed former Premier Imran Khan over allegations of vote rigging. Our correspondent Nasser Kazmi brings us more from the Pakistani capital, Islamabad.
It was the second occasion on which Pakistani lawmakers elected Shehbaz Sharif as the new premier of the country. Shahbaz Sharif assumed office as Pakistan's prime minister for the first time in April 2022, following the dramatic ouster of Pakistan's jailed ex-prime minister Imran Khan from power through a parliamentary no-confidence vote. Sharif, the younger brother of Pakistan's three-time Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif, secured 201 votes in the lower house of the parliament. He emerged victorious over his rival Omar Ayub Khan of the PTI party led by jailed ex-PM Khan, who managed to secure 92 votes. A candidate needs a simple majority of votes in the 336-member house to win the post. The election of the new Pakistani premier was marred by nationwide protests by the supporters of imprisoned Imran Khan against alleged rigging in the recently held elections. Several party workers who were staging protest demonstrations against results manipulation in the recently held elections were arrested. The newly elected premier, Sharif, who is expected to take the oath of the office on Monday, has been congratulated by several neighboring countries, including China, Iran, and Turkey.
As Shahbaz Sharif assumes the role of prime minister for a second time, he is pitted against a multitude of challenges. These include fragile economic and political conditions. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
On the occasion of the 40th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution, February 11th, 2019, the global scene today witnesses a phenomena that are unfolding or will unfold in the near future. The new dynamism of the Islamic Awakening movement based on the model of resistance to the US and Zionist domination. The new dynamism of the Islamic Awakening movement based on the model of resistance to the US and Zionist domination. The failure of US policies in the West Asian region and the defeat of their traitorous allies in the region. The expansion of the powerful political presence of the Islamic Republic of Iran in West Asia and its wide-ranging reflection across the world of domineering powers. These are examples of the reputation of the Islamic Republic, which were not achieved except by means of the courage and wisdom of the jihadi, selflessly striving managers.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The leaders of the domineering system are worried. Their proposals generally involve deception and lies. Today, the Iranian nation, in addition to the criminal regime of the United States, regards a number of European governments as deceiving and unreliable. The Islamic Republic of Iran must prudently observe its boundaries with them. It should not retreat from its revolutionary and national values. It should not be scared by their void threats. And at all times, it should consider the dignity of the country and try to wisely, prudently, and of course, with a revolutionary standpoint, settle the solvable problems it has in relations with them. In the case of the United States, no problem with them is seen to be resolved, and any negotiation with the U.S. will have no outcome but material and spiritual harms. There are many necessary points to make in this regard. Lifestyle. I will leave it to another opportunity, and I suffice to mention that the West's attempts to promote the Western lifestyle in Iran has caused a lot of irreversible moral, economic, religious, and political detriments to our country and our nation.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
It's April 17, 1917. British forces launched their invasion to capture Palestine, still part of the Ottoman Empire. The battle goes on for 3 days. The casualties on the British side are mounting. They have to retreat. London then recruits Arab tribes, promising to help them shake off the yoke of the Ottomans. With their assistance, the British raid and destroy Ottoman supply lines and logistics in the Palestine region. On the first day of November 1917, the British forces mount a new round of invasion on Gaza. Lack of ammunition and supply cripple Ottoman defense line. Gaza falls into the hands of the British, and by December 1917, they take Al-Quds, but never honor their promise. Instead, the British occupy Palestine until 1948, when they hand over the Holy Land to the Jews flooding in from across the world. The Palestinian plight and the struggle for liberation begins. On May 14, 1948, General Alan Cunningham, the last British High Commissioner, left what was known then as the Mandate of Palestine. John Marlowe wrote of the last few minutes of British rule in his book, The Seat of Pilate. The Union Jack was lowered, and with the speed of an execution and the silence of a ship that passes in the night, British rule in Palestine came to an end. On the same day, David Ben-Gurion announced the establishment of Israel. It came as a shock to the Arab world. several Arab countries joined forces to expel the insolent newcomers, but faced a crushing defeat. A neo-colonial project, Israel systematically took over Palestinian lands, expelling people from their homes and leaving many to live as refugees in isolated enclaves. Official records conservatively estimate that back then, at least 750,000 Palestinians were forcibly removed from their homes and lands by Israeli forces, resulting in the capture of 78% of historic Palestine. The remaining 22% was divided into the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. The displaced Palestinians entered a state of diaspora, with many spending the rest of their lives in refugee camps. In addition to the conquest of major cities, approximately 530 Palestinian villages were destroyed, and around 15,000 Palestinians lost their lives in a series of large-scale atrocities. Crushed and crestfallen, the Arabs vowed to wreak revenge, take their stolen lands back, and restore their lost pride, honor, and glory. With the rise of pan-Arabic Gamal Abdel Nasser, hope and enthusiasm came back among the Arabs. A coalition of Arab states was formed to go to war with Israel on June 5, 1967. This time around, Israel overwhelmed the coalition in less than a week. The decisive victory included the capture of the Sinai Peninsula, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, the old city of Al-Quds, and the Golan Heights. The Arab countries' losses in the conflict were disastrous. Egypt's casualties numbered more than 11,000, with 6,000 for Jordan and 1,000 for Syria, compared with only 700 for Israel. The Arab armies also suffered crippling losses of weaponry and equipment. The Six-Day War also created hundreds of thousands of refugees and brought more than 1 million Palestinians in the occupied territories under Israeli rule. The defeat demoralized both the Arab public and the political elite. Pan-Arabism was defanged and hopes to take back Palestine were shattered. The Palestinian issue remained unresolved as an Arab problem. Israeli Prime Minister Golda Meir famously claimed in an interview with the Sunday Times on June 15, 1969, that there were no such things as Palestinians. They didn't exist. Almost a decade later, in 1978, Egyptian President Anwar Sadat and Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin signed the Camp David Accords, according to which Egypt would recognize Israel as a legitimate state. A stab in the back of Palestine. Betrayed by Egypt and abandoned by the rest of the Arab world, the Palestinian nation was withering away under the illegal, brutal occupation. Two countries away from Palestine, the Iranian people were making history by toppling the powerful regime of Mohammad Reza Shah, who, like the Israelis, had the United States on his side. In 1979, The fall of the Shah, who had the biggest army in the Middle East and the fifth greatest one in the world, rekindled hopes in the hearts of the Palestinians. The invincible could be vincible. In the words of the co-founder of Hamas, Abdulaziz Al-Rantisi, we believe that the Islamic Revolution of Iran has had a positive impact on other Muslim countries. It has awakened them, and I believe this awakening accounts for uprisings across the Muslim world. The newly established Islamic Republic was, however, more than a role model for the Palestinian nation. Iran ended its alliance with Israel overnight, in favor of the Palestinians. Just 6 days after the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979, the Palestine Liberation Organization chief Yasser Arafat led a 58-member delegation to Tehran. As the first official foreign politician to visit Iran, Arafat was warmly received by thousands of Iranians chanting in support of Palestine. When someone goes to their home, they do not need permission, Arafat told the public during his visit to Tehran. He declared, "Iran's revolution is a great victory for Palestine. When I entered Iran's airspace, I felt like I entered the airspace of Beit al-Muqaddas." Tehran turned the Israeli embassy to the Palestinian embassy and renamed the road in front of it to Palestine Street, an act of symbolic importance. At the same time, founder of the Islamic Revolution, Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Ruhollah Khomeini, designated the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan as Quds Day, calling on all Muslims across the world to mark the day annually in solidarity with the downtrodden people of Palestine. It was a message to the whole world. Palestine is not just an Arab problem. With this spiritual assistance from the charismatic leader of the revolution, Palestine was saved from oblivion. The Palestinian plight came to the foreground, a new lease of life for Palestinian fighters to keep on their uphill battle against the occupiers. The two major Palestinian resistance groups, i.e. the Palestinian Islamic Jihad Movement, PIJ, and Hamas, officially announced their existence in the 1980s. As an underground movement, Islamic Jihad had been found in the late 1970s by Fathi Shaghari, a young physician and a Gaza refugee. Endorsing the Islamic Revolution of Iran, Shaghari said, "This revolution was a wake-up call to us all that our victory is contingent upon following Imam Khomeini's path. So it behooves us to avoid all other ways except the way shown by the Imam in our fight against the occupation regime of Israel." Tehran's ties with the Palestinian resistance groups developed steadily, even when the Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein waged one of the bloodiest and longest wars in the region against Iran. Iran's closer cooperation with the Palestinian groups began in 1987 after Israel expelled Hamas and Islamic Jihad leaders to Lebanon as part of its efforts to suppress the Palestinian national leadership in the occupied Gaza Strip and the West Bank. The raging war against Iran failed to distract the nation from the Palestinian cause. The Islamic Republic expressed its deep disagreements over the so-called Reagan peace plan and the Fahd peace plan, where the rights of the Palestinians had been almost totally ignored in favor of the Israeli regime. Inspired partly by the Islamic Revolution, in December 1987, the Palestinian people staged a sustained series of protests, civil disobedience, and riots, which later came to be known as the First Intifada, or the Stone Intifada, as they were still throwing stones at Israeli soldiers who were armed to the teeth. Amid the deafening silence of Arab leaders, Tehran lent all its support to the Palestinian cause. Imam Khomeini took a clear, strong stance, saying with the Israeli regime in place, the Palestinians would not see the end of their sufferings. In 1993, Fatih Shaghari told Newsday, Iran gives us money and supports us. Then we supply the money and arms to the occupied territories and support the families of our people. To draw further attention to the pain and suffering of the Palestinian people, a couple of years after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, Iranian pilgrims began staging demonstrations against Israel and its major supporter, the United States, at the Hajj. Perhaps one thing that sparked the flames of the First Intifada was a tragic incident that happened that year in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. On July 31st, 1987, during one of these pro-Palestinian demonstrations, the clash between Iranian demonstrators and Saudi security forces turned bloody, resulting in the deaths of more than 400 pilgrims. Hamas, an acronym in Arabic for Islamic Resistance Movement, emerged out of the First Palestinian Intifada in 1987. It was co-founded by Sheikh Ahmed Yassin and six others, originally as a local offshoot of Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood. On May 2, 1998, Hamas, still a fledgling group with less than a decade since its formation, paid a visit to Tehran to meet the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. The meeting happened when almost none of the leaders of the Arab world took the Palestinian Intifada seriously. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, however, had a different opinion about the struggle, the group, and its leader, Sheikh Ahmed Yassin. Iran pledged financial support and provided the group with advanced military training at bases belonging to the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps in Iran and Lebanon. It also trained Palestinian engineers to manufacture weapons locally. The Second Palestinian Intifada erupted in September 2000, after the collapse of the so-called Middle East peace talks at Camp David and Ariel Sharon's unlawful visit to Haram al-Sharif, the home of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the third holiest site in Islam. It was a major uprising by the Palestinians against the Israeli occupation that continued for 5 years. In 2006, Hamas won a huge majority in parliamentary elections, with Palestinian voters giving the group 76 seats in parliament out of the 132 seats available. After the Hamas victory, Khalid Mash'al visited Tehran and said, "Just as Islamic Iran defends the rights of the Palestinians, we defend the rights of Islamic Iran. We are part of a united front against the enemies of Islam." Unlike some other Palestinian groups, Hamas never recognized the occupation regime. So following the group's takeover of Gaza, a crippling blockade was imposed on the Strip to limit the movement of the people and goods, a collective punishment for electing an uncompromising group. To put more pressure, the U.S. and its allies imposed sanctions on Hamas and the community the group represented. Many in the Arab world left the group high and dry, but the Islamic Republic, an all-weather friend, never withdrew its support for the group in the hardest of times. The Shia state gave a hand to the Sunni group to remind the Muslim world that Palestine transcends sectarian differences. On March 9, 2008, a Hamas senior commander, interviewed by the Sunday Times, said 300 of the group's best brains had been secretly sent to Tehran. According to the commander, who wished to remain anonymous, half are still being trained by the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps. They're learning how to make explosives from everyday items and produce more effective rockets. The rest have already returned from the IRGC base in Tehran. Some have been trained as snipers. Others have learned to use tunnels in attacks on Israeli forces. Iran is our mother. She gives us information, military supplies, and financial support. The resistance movement in Palestine built up steam when Lieutenant General Haj Qasem Soleimani took the helm of Iran's Quds Force, one of the IRGC's branches with its main focus on assisting resistance groups in the region. Thanks to Tehran's unwavering support, resistance groups in Palestine grew strong enough to deal the hardest blows on the Israeli regime, something unimaginable after the Six-Day War. For the Palestinians, time for lopsided defeat had gone, and for the Israelis, victory was no longer for granted. Subsequent wars like the one in 2012 left no doubt that the Palestinians had risen from the ashes. During a visit by Hamas leaders to Iran in 2019, Ayatollah Khamenei stated, "Not many years ago, the Palestinians fought against Israel with stones. But today, instead of stones, they're equipped with precision missiles. This signifies development." Struggle against the occupation regime reached its crescendo in October 7, 2023, when Hamas forces launched a land, air, and sea attack into the heart of the Israeli occupation territories, catching the enemy off guard and shattering its myth of invincibility, in spite of all its state-of-the-art weapons and its huge military expenditure. Iran was not involved in the attack, but who can deny the country's decades-long support that molded drone flyers out of the stone-throwing fighters?
This is IRIB English Radio. IRIB English Radio. With you every single moment.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Respected listeners from all over the world, welcome to IRIB English Radio. Thank you so much for joining us on Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really happy to have brothers Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Fawad Haider, and Hassan Nasrullah with me here today in the studio. I really welcome them all. Salaam alaikum, everyone.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
And Fawad, how are you?
Fine, sir.
Hassan, how are
Fine,
you?
Fine, sir.
Alhamdulillah. And Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah,
Hussein?
Sir.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 32, Surah
Al-A'raf.
What page?
154.
Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, go to page 154, Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 32, right?
Yes, okay. 32.
So, Ayah 32. Let's listen to the recitation of this ayah once.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قل من حرم زينة الله التي أخرج لعباده والطيبات من الرزق قل هي للذين آمنوا في الحياة الدنيا خالصة يوم القيامة كذلك نفصل الآيات لقوم يعلمون.
Nice recitation, mashallah. Alright, let's check out what tajweed points we have to pay attention to and focus on in order to recite this ayah beautifully. And let's see also what Allah Almighty says in this ayah. Alright, but first, I want someone to read it for us. Any of you? Any volunteer?
Yeah.
Ali Nasir?
Yes,
Good
sir.
Good job. Go on. So, brothers and sisters, let's listen to reciter Ali Nasir. Everyone? A'udhu billah, mashallah. Go on.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ما شاء الله
قل من حرم زينة الله التي أخرج لعباده والطيبات من الرزق
Good, nice one, nice قلقلة That was very good
قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا خَالِسَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ
مَاشَاءَ اللَّهُ Impressive.
كَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ
I could only find one little mistake.
Yes, sir.
Everything was right.
Yes.
That was an amazing recitation, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Okay. Let's fix that one. First, let's fix it. What was that?
He said Zinatullah.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Huh? Hussein, did you notice that?
Yes.
Alright, Zina.
Tallah. Is correct.
Ta or ta?
Ta. Ta. Zinatullah.
So, I noticed another mistake. You noticed this one? So, it means there are?
Two mistakes.
Two. Hassan, did you notice any?
No.
Okay. So two then.
Yes.
So, have you heard about heavy letters and light letters?
Yes.
For sure.
Maybe Nasir yeah. didn't.
maybe. No, he must have heard it, but sometimes we forget it. Yes? Yes?
Yes.
All right. What do you think, what letter was here that he mispronounced it?
Kha.
No, he did it well.
Mm.
أخرج and خالص he did it well
عبادي
huh no
عين.
No That's it was a heavy letter yeah. that he mispronounced it he pronounced it letter. Lightly
صاد
no I'm saying it had to be pronounced heavily
ح
ah sound but he pronounced it a sound
the حيات
no
حيات
Let me give you a hint.
Harrama.
No. Harrama, it's correct.
Amen.
No.
Ta.
Huh?
Ta.
No, ta was correct.
طيبات.
No, it was just at the end.
قاف.
آه قاف لقومي you said. لقومي. Alright.
Yes.
So let's review this eight heavy letters that we have to pronounce them heavily whenever they have a fatha or fatha and alif mad. Huh?
Yes.
So what are those eight letters? Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, listen. There are eight letters in Arabic that they are called heavy letters. They have a quality called heaviness. Alright? Heaviness. Roughness or heaviness. What we mean by heaviness is we should pronounce them
with aw sound.
With an aw sound. Aw, aw, aw. You open your mouth up and down, upside down, this way.
Yes.
Vertically. Yeah? But what we the rest of the letters are light letters. They have the quality of lightness. Okay?
Yeah.
They must be pronounced lightly. Very lightly, softly. How? With an ah sound.
Ah sound.
Relax. Ah. Very easy one.
Yes.
Like what? Like alamin, alhamdulillahi, rabbil alamin, arrahmanir rahim, maliki yawmidin. Okay? But when it comes to ihdina siratal mustaqim, look, it changes the sound, goes ah sound. Or for example, we say khalidina fiha, ah, ah. So these are called light and heavy letters. Okay?
Yes.
So now, from all the alphabet letters, there are eight of them that must be pronounced with an aw sound. The rest of them must be pronounced with an
as
sound. But in some styles of recitations, in some narrations of recitation, okay, some of the reciters, yes, they pronounce heavy letters with an as sound also. That's something else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, these eight letters, who can name them? Ali Nasir?
Yeah.
First one?
Kha.
Kha.
Saad.
Ra is also, it's temporary, but
yeah,
keep it.
So, ra.
You count it as well. Ra.
Saad.
Saad.
Baad.
Baad.
Ka.
Ta.
Ba.
Va.
Va, yeah. And
Ghain. Ghain, not Ain. Ghain, the brother.
Ghain.
The older brother. Ghain.
And Qaf.
And Qaf. So these eight letters must be pronounced with an aw sound whenever they have fatha or alif mad. The rest of the letters are light. So here, qawmi, not qawmi, qawmi, khalidin, not khalidin, yes? Khalisa, not khalisa. Am I right?
Yes.
If you read dun ya, this becomes Persian or any other way of pronunciation, but it's not Arabic. Dun
ya.
Yeah, it has to be, since ya is a light letter. Good. So, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ. The letter lam is also temporary in the word Allah. We talked about it previously.
قُرْآنِي قُرْآنِي فِي قَلْبِي دَوْمًا يَغْمُرُنِي مِنْ فَيْضِ ضِيَاء آيَاتُ
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
When do we pronounce the word Allah with an aw sound, and when do we pronounce it with an ah sound?
When before the word Allah, there is a kasra.
Alright, the word before the word Allah, there is a kasra, which means...
At the end of it. At the end of it.
The word right before the word Allah.
Yes, yes.
That ends with a kasra.
Yes.
That's it. For example, Bismillah.
Yes.
Bismi. Bism is the last, the word before the word Allah. And the letter Mim is the end. At the end, yes? And it has?
Kasra.
Kasra. Bismi.
So it's pronounced lightly.
This affects the word Allah to be pronounced with an A sound. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. For what read?
Should I continue?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Look, بسم الله Yes?
Yes.
That's it. And whenever?
And whenever Zamma or Fatha comes at the end of the letter before Allah.
Before the word Allah.
Before the word Allah.
Okay.
It's pronounced heavily.
All right, like here.
Like Zinatullah.
Yeah, Zinatullah. Good. Thank you so much. التي أخرج لعباده والطيبات من الرزق. Allah Almighty says, O Prophet, say to them, who has forbidden the adornment of Allah which He has brought forth for His servants, والطيبات من الرزق, and the good things of His provision. Look, there are a lot of things which are halal. قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. In fact, everything Allah Almighty has created are for the people who have faith in Allah Almighty. But of course, those who are non-believers as well, use them. Yes?
Yeah.
But Allah says, خَالِسَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ will be, it means the pure ni'mah, okay? And exclusively this ni'mah, okay? Whatever Allah Almighty has created, at-tayyibat also, for them, for the believers, they will be on the Day of Judgment. كَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ. Thus do we elaborate the signs for a people who have knowledge. Alright, so, وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. Hassan told us about that baby jim on the top of the word rizq. What was that?
It says that it's optional to pause or to continue.
Yeah, it's a stopping sign. And what about that one? Qila, on the word qiyama?
Qila says that it's better to stop.
Good, better to stop, but we still can?
Continue.
Continue. One more important rule we will mention, and that will be all. Khali satan tanween.
Plus ya.
Plus, next word starts with ya. The same example, go down. Liqawmin. يَعْلَمُونَ, the same thing. خَالِسَةً, we have تَنْوِينَ فَتْحَ plus يَا. لِقَوْمٍ, we have تَنْوِينَ كَسْرَ plus يَا.
No,
what do we do with this تَنْوِينَ? There is a rule with that.
We merge.
Merge.
Merge or joining to the next. It means تَنْوِينَ will be joined
to the next.
To the next letter, the letter, yeah. So خَالِسَةً, this تَنْ that ends with N sound. This N sound will be merged.
With ya.
With ya. Khalisa.
Tain.
As if the word, the letter ya is doubled there.
Yes.
So I have a question.
Yep.
When you merge with idgham rule, do you produce a nasal sound? Even yes. A slight one?
Yes.
A big one or a slight?
What do you mean by big or slight?
Like, is it more than in the nun shadda one? Or less?
No, it's two count.
Just two counts.
Count. Just two counts.
That's just four counts.
No, we don't have four counts. We have two counts.
Just two for every.
Two. For any of them. Whatever. Only with the letter lam and ra, you can't extend the sound.
Like we don't have.
Minna rabbikum, mir rabbikum. You cannot say mir rabbikum. This is wrong. Okay? Or min ladun, milladun. No. Milladun. Alright?
Yes.
Only
yes.
With these two letters. So, that's it. خالصتين يوم القيامة and لقوم
مين.
I will recite this ayah once. Make sure you repeat after me. Alright, Hassan?
Yes.
Alright. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, try to join us in recitation. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
قل من حرم زينة الله التي أخرج لعباده والطيبات من الرزق.
قل من حرم زينة الله التي أخرج لعباده والطيبات من الرزق.
قل هي للذين آمنوا في الحياة الدنيا خالصة يوم القيامة.
قل هي للذين آمنوا في الحياة الدنيا خالصة يوم القيامة
كذلك نفصل الآيات لقوم يعلمون
كذلك نفصل الآيات لقوم يعلمون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم.